The Premier League is back with double Derby Day drama. Are we now avoiding Arsenal? And should we sort a solution for City? Plus, one of our panellists might be on a wild card. Hello again, welcome back to the FPL pod. Hopefully you've enjoyed your international break and are refreshed and ready for the next 8 game weeks that take us up to Qatar and the unlimited transfers. But of course, we're all rather looking forward to that. Good morning, first of all, to Sam Bonfield of FPL Family. Sam, you ready for FPL to be back?
Literally can't wait, Kelly. I miss it so much in international breaks. Bring back the Premier League.
Jules will, of course, have been watching everything in between times, so probably hasn't really missed football at all, Jules.
Hi, Kelly. Hi, everyone. Yeah, I watched a lot of international football. It's, you know, it's great, but I'm like Sam, I want the Premier League back.
Yes, we all want the Premier League back. And I know one man who'll want it back just as much as the rest of us. Az Phillips is joining us today from Fantasy Football Scout and FPL Black Box. Az, is this your first appearance of the season?
It is, yeah. It's nice that you're getting me on when I'm ranked as low as I am.
We couldn't find anyone else, so you had to come in, really.
Yeah. desperate times, call for desperate measures, that's why I'm here. But no, great to be on and back. And yeah, looking forward to FPL coming back so I can get some more green arrows.
Talk us through what's, I was going to say gone well so far, but it sounds like maybe what's gone wrong. Talk us through your season so far.
Yeah, well, I started without Haaland, which was a disaster. Oof. And then chose not to get Haaland anyway.
What? Have you got him now?
I've got him now. Yeah, I had okay. De Bruyne, and I was kind of hoping Haaland would take a little bit of time to adapt to the Premier League. Turns out he didn't need any time to adapt to the Premier League, and he's going to break every record imaginable. So definitely wrong on that one. I missed out on some of the big names who's done well, Martinelli, for example. But now it's starting to get a bit better. Made a couple of decent moves last week, kind of half my rank in the last few weeks. So hopefully the only way's up.
Let's just have a word on ranks, because I'm not going to lie, I'm getting quite excited because my rank looks pretty good at the moment. However, at this stage of the season, that is not a show off line, because what I'm trying to point out that this stage of the season, how much do you read into your rank? Because, as for example, tell me what your total point score is.
Yeah, so I've got 400 points, and I think, you know, I'm looking around people, and you know, there's people doing really well who have got kind of 40, 50 points more than me. I mean, that's one Son captaincy, right? Last week when he gets
exactly. I was going to say I'm 454 is my total point, so I'm only 50 points ahead of you. I'm about 454 points, so 50 odd points ahead of you. But I'm ranked 266,000th in the world, or there or thereabouts.
Oh my
and you're
God,
what?
So
a couple
bad.
Of million?
The trolling is real.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, what I'm saying is, guys, what I'm trying to point out, as you said there, all it takes is one captaincy, a couple of weeks, and inevitably, as will finish above me. But what I'm pointing out is, at this stage of the season, rank doesn't mean as much, does it?
No, I mean, it's been a difficult start to the season because a lot of people had the same similar teams. But I think now we're starting to see teams branch off and wild cards be played and all that kind of stuff. So it's a good opportunity now before the World Cup to climb.
Sam, how much are you looking at rank at the moment? Do you kind of share my view? And do you understand I wasn't showing off? I was trying to point out that my rank actually means nothing. And the reason I'm getting excited now is because I know all of you good FPL managers are going to catch me up very soon.
Yeah, absolutely. For me right now, normally it is about game week 8, game week 9 that I start to look at overall rank and think about, you know, where I might be. But this year it's so tight because everybody's been on very similar players at the beginning. So there's so little difference between, say, where Az is in the world and where you are in the world, and then all those in between. Plus, you've got players like Jules, who's already played their free hit, and it went really well, but that's given him a massive boost. So for players like me, still with my wild card intact, still with my free hit, I would expect that I'll be able to gain some traction over the next few weeks and boost up, because the points are so small. The gaps between, say, where Az is at, I think, 2.8 million and where I am at 2.2, that's 7 points. It's nothing. That's, you know, that's one goal from a midfielder. And suddenly that's disappeared entirely and you can have gone up over 500,000 places. So yeah, don't pay too much attention. Keep that focus on your points totals, because that will give you a lot more confidence going into the next few weeks.
Okay, let's look back on the international break then. There's only one man to start this with. Julien Laurent, tell us what you've seen that we need to know from an FPL point of view while our players have been away.
I think it was a very interesting 10 days, really, for all our players, because a lot of them were involved, obviously, in the international break. Some, like Trent Alexander-Arnold, were clearly on holidays because he didn't play a single second. So I think Klopp would be happy with that, even if he could not, you know, be in Liverpool and train with the players who were still there and with club. But we saw Erling Haaland scoring, we saw Mitrovic scoring and being really good in the two games that Serbia played, for example. We saw Mo Salah scoring in the first game of Egypt and then not playing the second game, coming back early to Liverpool, which I think would be a huge boost for him and for Liverpool as well before the game at the weekend against Brighton. So I think that has to take in consideration when you choose your team. There's players who have had injuries. Kulusevski, of course, is one of them. Thomas Partey also didn't play the game for Ghana against Brazil. Just before the game, he pulled out. So this is something that you need to keep a close eye on. But it was a very, there was a lot to learn from what we saw in the international game.
Should we be targeting as the players Jules mentioned in there, Trent Alexander-Arnold, players like that all of a sudden have got a real point to prove ahead of the World Cup. So their form is going to need to be at the very top and in turn could make them good FPL assets for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I think England are a perfect team really because Southgate's kind of got his kind of favourite players that he's using and players like Maddison, Bowen, even Ivan Toney got called up and then wasn't used. Trent as well. These are players who are going to be sweating a bit on their kind of involvement in the World Cup squad. So they're also the kind of talismans, a lot of them, for their own clubs. Bowen particularly hasn't hit the heights and West Ham have been struggling. Maddison is going to have to drag Leicester, you know, up the table kind of single-handedly. So big players for their clubs. And if they can kind of turn their club's fortunes around, they'll be very hopeful of getting on the plane.
You must have enjoyed Eric Dier's performances, Sam, didn't you? And also probably been watching, worrying about injury, because that's another thing we have to consider over the break.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, as a Spurs fan going into the derby against Jules's Arsenal team at the weekend,
Oh, I hadn't even clocked that. We've got a bit of derby rivalry.
I've realised that, ooh. Kelly. We're not friends today.
I'm surprised Sam went for it so early because, you know, one win in 29 away for Spurs.
Look at that. He had that stat ready, didn't he?
No, he's ready. He's ready to go for me. Yeah, but I do think it's really important because obviously you come out of international break and as an FPL manager, you're desperately looking at your team thinking, please don't let me get any major injuries to my squad. And then the same again as a general Premier League fan, you're obviously wanting your players to stay in form. And Eric Dier is such an important part of that Spurs defence. And they've got some really nice fixtures coming up after the Arsenal game at the weekend where clean sheets look like they could be on the cards for Spurs. So players like Eric Dier really want him staying fit and healthy going into that run of fixtures because he could be an FPL asset. I mean, he's scoring goals this season.
Yes. Do you remember the other week when I was making my transfers? I talked about it on last week's podcast, I think, when I was at Aston Villa and at the very last minute making some panicked transfers. And do you remember, Sam, you said to me, you could bring in Eric Dier and then you said, actually, don't bring him in.
Yeah,
and then he scored.
I did because I kept saying all week, maybe Eric Dier is not such a bad idea. But then the historical bias of Spurs and the fact that we don't keep that many clean sheets as standard kind of played a part. And then I thought, well, he's not really going to get that many attacking returns, but he is playing a different game right now. He's gone some set pieces. He's going forward at every corner opportunity. And our corners have improved so much this year that now there is a bit of aerial threat from him as well. So suddenly he's not looking like a terrible shout in that kind of fourth midfielder spot.
I've missed probably his only goal of the season now though, so I won't be investing in him.
He's got two so far.
Oh, wow. Two in how many games?
Is this the Eric Dier podcast?
Fan club Eric Dier.
We're going to move on from that now. Sorry. And let's talk a little bit more about players that have come back with injuries. Have any of you guys, Jules, Sam, have any of you guys got any injury concerns, any red flags when you look at your team for this game week? As you go first.
No, not for me. I've been quite lucky. I think kind of I had Zinchenko early on and he's started the season really well for Arsenal, but has been getting these kind of little flags every now and then. So I kind of jumped off that and he's still got that kind of flag on him. I think Robertson and Isak are the big ones because Isak was bought in by a lot of people ahead of that Bournemouth game. Did get the goal, looks good option. You know, his underlying stats are really nice. You know, Wilson's sort of back now. We kind of wonder what his role is, but I really like the look of Isak going forward. So I think, you know, owners of him will kind of feel a bit aggrieved by that. And then Robertson as well, who's not really delivered at all for Liverpool so far this season. The most patient managers around, you know, have kept on to him, will be really upset that he's got flagged and they'll probably miss the game. So yeah, they're the kind of big ones, but luckily not affected myself.
If you are someone that's held on to Robertson, surely now this has to be the kind of final straw. It's time to move him on.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame because, you know, they've had the break now. They got that good result against Ajax. They have got Thiago back. I think they're going to start becoming a stronger team again with some of these key players back. So you kind of almost want to hold him, you know, on that. But sometimes I think you've just got to kind of count your losses. I think there's good defenders around. You know, you've got Trent, you've got Cancelo, Trippier, you know, even someone like Diaz for Man City. Reece James, I think, is going to be a must-have for a lot of people. So, yeah, I think this is probably the time you part ways. It would take a very, very patient manager to keep on something.
To have a patient manager that would have had Marcus Rashford since the start of the season. Don't know who would have done that. He's also got a flag now, so I've got a decision to make with him. Again, I've been patient waiting for these fixtures. I don't know. Anyway, Jules, have you got any flags like me?
I've got poor Nathan Patterson, and we said in the last show who got early very... who got injured very quickly, remember, in that Wednesday night game against Ukraine. So it was good because we highlighted him from the beginning of in the summer, even our preview shows, because he was not costing you much and you knew he was going to start. And I think, again, he was getting better and better and better. And even Everton looked a bit more solid now than they used to before. So, yeah, it's a real shame.
Sam, how's your team looking?
I've got away with it, largely, Kelly. Obviously, pending on press conference news today, no flags currently on my team. But Patterson was definitely a player that I was looking at. So now I'm taking a look at his teammate, Tarkowski, and thinking he's a nice, easy swap. Weirdly, Tarkowski's actually had more attempts on goal than Patterson has so far this season. Tarkowski's had 5 to Patterson's 3. And 3 of those 5 attempts have been on target for Tarkowski. Yes, he does cost you 0.3 more. So maybe, Jules, that's one for you to look at if you've got a little bit of money in the bank, because those Everton fixtures definitely look targetable from a defensive standpoint.
Before we move on from the rather depressing topic of injuries, I just wanted to flag a few of the injuries that Arsenal have got, Jules, in terms of, we mentioned Zinchenko, Odegaard, Partey. How do you think that will affect the Arsenal attack and people that do have Gabriel Jesus and Arsenal's other flair players?
That is a good point. I think Partey was more precautionary than anything else, him missing that Ghana game. Odegaard played with Norway, so he should be okay. And then it's that left back position, isn't it, between Zinchenko and Tierney, who both of them have had injuries. I mean, we saw Tierney with Scotland as well. So again, be very interesting to hear what Mikel Arteta has to say. I guess Tomiyasu can play also, or deputize more than play as left back, but it's not the same dynamic and momentum on that left hand side. And the patterns of play there between Martinelli, Xhaka, and whoever is the left back is usually pretty strong for Arsenal. So you would lose a big thing of what makes you good so far this season if you don't have either Tierney or Zinchenko. I think Tierney should be okay. Zinchenko, not so much, but Tierney is still a really good option, as we saw against Brentford.
Yeah, one to watch, that's for sure. Now, those injuries will be a large part of the reason that managers have pressed the wildcard button. So, Jules, have you pressed the button?
I haven't yet, but I will. I have to.
Yes,
play.
It's Friday morning.
I'm time.
Yes.
You know, relax. But okay, the issue I have is that I really feel this is the right time to play. And also, because I had a good week with the free hit, I want to keep the momentum, and I feel playing the World Cup now would be good. The problem is, as I mentioned in last week's show, I like Brighton because I like the Zerbi, and I think they were going to be very good. But they've got Liverpool and Spurs in his first two games. And I think he would need a bit of time to put, especially attacking-wise, all his ideas in place. So I need to wait a little bit for Brighton assets. I want Crystal Palace assets like Wilfried Zaha, for example. But they play Chelsea this weekend. So I could wait another week, and then their fixtures look much better. I want Diogo Dalot, for example. But again, they play City this weekend. So I could wait another week, but I don't feel I can wait another week. So my head is literally boiling inside. Like, I can feel the smoke coming out, but I think I'll have to play it.
So you think you are going to play it?
He started so calm, Joe.
Yeah, he's talked himself into it, hasn't he? Talk us through your team a little bit now, and then we'll let Az and Sam decide if they think you need a wild card.
Well, so I've got Ramsdale or Henderson in goal, and then I still have Trent, and I agree with Az and Salah. I think Liverpool will get much stronger. I think Trent not playing with England, I think if I was him, I would feel as a humiliation, really, to have been there and not even get a second and not even be on the bench for the Germany game. And I think he will have a big point to prove. And you could easily see Trent being so angry this weekend that he's having an amazing game. And Mo Salah coming back rested from international break because he only played one game, having scored obviously 2 in a row now, so for club and country. So I feel that they could return well. I've got the Holy Trinity up front, Kane, Haaland and Jesus, of course. So that's looking good. And I still have Reece James, Nico Williams. So it's a good team. But I feel that maybe if I play the wildcard, it'd be even better or could be better.
Come on then. As Sam, your FPL experts, does Jules need to press that button?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. I mean, I think given that you haven't played it already, Jules, you know, you've missed probably a couple of price rises. I think you probably can wait a little bit. I mean, you've got Reece James. I think Reece James is the one that I'd really want. And I definitely want Zaha going forward as well. So if you can't move to him kind of easily, move to him next week when they've got Leeds, Leicester, Wolves and Everton kind of in between 10 and 13. It's an amazing run. You can sort your goalkeepers out a little bit. I don't think Ramsdale and Henderson are going to get too many points. But again, I think you can probably hold that. It's not a major thing that you need to address this week. So yeah, I think I'd probably lean to hold at the moment. I think, you know, some of the players you've mentioned have better games from next week. So yeah, give it another week.
What's really interesting, Jules, is that actually the team you've just read out is not that dissimilar to mine. And I've decided I'm definitely not playing it this week. And there are a number of reasons for that. Firstly, I think I felt like that a lot of the players that I've already got in my FPL team were players that were being targeted by wildcarding managers. So like, as just said, Reece James, players like that, who a lot of people want to go with. And I've got back three who mostly play in my matches of Trippier, of Cancelo, and then of Reece James. So if I've got those two anyway, those are the three that a lot of managers are going to be leaning towards. I've got the same front three as you in Kane, Haaland and Jesus. And then the midfield has got players like Luis Diaz, who I quite want for this week anyway, against Brighton. I think he could have a nice match. And then players like Martinelli, who have been good all season. So I look at them and think, with a couple of tweaks and a couple of transfers over the next couple of weeks to bring in players like Maddison and Zaha, I've probably got the template of the wildcard team anyway. Because of that, I've decided to hold mine until game week 13. So I'm going to basically dead end my team. And by that, I mean I can afford over the next few weeks during the tough run of fixtures for Arsenal and Man City to start selling off their assets as they have more difficult fixtures, knowing that as soon as their blank is over in game week 12, I can hit the wildcard button and bring them back in so that I hit those really nice fixtures that Arsenal and Manchester City have between game week 13 and the unlimited transfer window in the World Cup. So that's what I'm doing with mine now. I'm just going to dead end my team, take out those heavy hitters from Arsenal. Jesus will probably go next week, probably followed by Martinelli the week after. Replace those with players like Zaha, maybe like Solanke, as a bit of a punt to target those Bournemouth fixtures, knowing that going forward, I can bring all these players I want back in again when the fixtures turn for the better.
Az, very quickly, have you played your wild card?
I have, yeah. I played mine a few weeks ago. Had to be done. Had to move for Haaland and other things to address.
Game week two.
Yeah,
it started so well. Game week two, he went.
It should have been, Jules. I'd be doing a lot better if I had done it in game week two. I think, yeah, everything Sam says is bang on. I think what Jules doesn't want to hear is if you are going to wild card, I think it's time to ship all your Arsenal players because, you know, they've got Tottenham, then Liverpool, and then a good game against Leeds, but then it's a blank. So this is the time when you can kind of shake things up a bit, maybe drop Martinelli, for example, who's really popular, maybe go for someone like Sinisterra of Leeds or find the extra money for a Zaha, you know, or a Maddison or someone like that and kind of move things around a little bit. But again, I don't think Arsenal options are terrible this week. I think there's goals in that derby against Spurs.
The other thing I quite like about waiting on Arsenal and selling them and wildcarding in game week 13 is that rather than bringing Martinelli back in game week 13, I can move for Saka instead. Because those are the sort of sideways moves that I probably wouldn't do in a transfer. But I do fancy Saka to do really well in the build-up to the World Cup in terms of, you know, momentum into Qatar. So I think that makes for another interesting dynamic to hold in the wild card now. And look, Jules, you know, as I said, you've missed a lot of price rises over the last couple of weeks by not doing it already. Do you really want to decide in 24 hours on a team that's got to make you through the next 8 weeks?
I always decide on 24 hours, you know, and like, that's why you're so much better than me at this game.
Jules, don't put yourself down like that. I think you might be...
You're beating me at the minute.
I think you're slightly ahead of Sam at the moment, so yeah. Take the wins while you can.
Yeah, I've got 875... No, I'm kidding. Yeah, 435 points. I'm 800k in the world, which is good, but like Sam said, it's a bit cheating because it's the free hit of last week that I played well, but still I won't have it for double game week later in the season where a lot of people will get points with their free hits. So.
Jules, do you think you just fell in love a little bit with your free hit team? You know you're not meant to fall in love with players that you only have for 1 week.
You want some more back.
No, it's not so much that. I was very happy and I felt the right thing to do anyway. So I'm cool. I'm really cool. It's just that I know when the double game weeks will happen and all of you will play them and then you're going to brag about them, I'd be gutted that I don't have mine.
I'm already penciling it in to brag to Jules.
Points in the bank though, Jules. That's better than potential points in the future.
Exactly. It's like all those games in hand. You know, you have two games in hand. Okay, great. But you don't have the points yet on the board.
We've touched upon a few players. You've mentioned James Maddison, Wilfried Zaha. But if managers are wildcarding, Sam, who are the key teams that we should be targeting at this point?
I mean, definitely Leicester and Crystal Palace. Like Joel said, Crystal Palace have got a tough fixture in game week 9 against Chelsea, but after that, such nice fixture run. And then there's a few differentials that you can go for. So Everton actually look really nice defensively. So going for somebody like Tarkowski or even a change up in goal of Pickford if fit, and if he's declared fit by Lampard in the press conferences, then maybe somebody like him. I also really like the Bournemouth fixtures. And I think given how cheap they are, going with somebody like Billing in the fifth midfielder spot or Solanke in the third forward spot. Yes, they've not been great. Yes, their XG has been pretty terrible, but they have got much nicer fixtures coming up. And these are the sort of games that if they want to stay in the Premier League longer term, they're going to have to pick up points in. So that means scoring goals. So I would be having a little look at players like that. But don't think that just because Manchester City have difficult fixtures in the next few weeks that we should suddenly kind of throw them all out and get rid of them all. Players like Haaland don't become bad picks. So keep some of those key assets in your team, but then maybe take some punts on players like Solanke, maybe even a Spurs player because they do have a good record. All right, not at the Emirates, but in North London derbies, they tend to be high scoring. So going for somebody like Son, who's very lowly owned still right now, into this nice run of fixtures that Spurs have after the derby could be a really nice differential on a wildcard.
Yeah, I think the absolute key decision on the wild card for a lot of people is which premium or two premiums you pair with Haaland. Because, I mean, if you look at the attack data kind of over the season, you've got the big teams right at the top, all with an XG per 90 of nearly two goals a game. And that's Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Tottenham and Leeds, amazingly enough. All these teams are pushing towards two goals a game on the underlying stats. So, you know, that kind of, I mean, I mentioned Sinisterra, who I really like the look of. Someone like Bamford as well could be a decent mid-price option if you're looking for someone a bit punty. But the key decision really is that premium. I mean, do you go for De Bruyne? Do you go for Son? Do you go for Kane? Do you go for Salah? You know, you've got some really, really good options there. And it looked so easy at the start of the season. It was Salah and Haaland. That's just what everyone had. And now I think you can mix up that Salah spot. For what it's worth, I think, you know, I like that Jules is positive about De Zerbi. I'm really excited as a Brighton fan about seeing him, you know, kind of in the dugout. But I think we're going to be leaky. I think it's going to take a bit of time for him to implement his system. He's a very attacking manager. And I think Liverpool is a really hard test in his first game. So I'm expecting goals in that. And I think actually, if you've still got Salah, he becomes a bit of a differential for you. And he'd probably be the premium that I'd pick if I was on the wildcard right now.
Az, do you know that Trossard has never blanked at Anfield? In every match in the Premier League he's played there.
Is that true?
So there you go. If you want a differential for this week, maybe keep Trossard in.
I love that. He's
got a smile on his face.
Yeah. I mean, he's got all the ingredients to be, you know, an absolute standout option. I mean, he's such a talented player. He just never really hits that kind of consistency and that those really big heights. Moved around quite a lot by Potter into different positions. I think he's going to be the main man under the new manager.
Okay, let's take a look at the fixtures then specifically for this game week, because we've mentioned a few of them now and why it's causing wildcarders or potential wildcarders like Jules a few issues in terms of knowing whether to press the button. It's Derby weekend, isn't it? That's what it feels like. Let's start with the North London Derby, the early kickoff on Saturday. This is a really tricky one to predict from an FPL point of view. Try and take your Arsenal hat off, Jules. What are you doing with your Arsenal? And if you had Spurs players, what would you be doing?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think there would be goals. So if you expect, you know, a clean sheet from a Ramsdale, or I think Lloris would be fit, or Dier, or if you've got Saliba, for example, I don't think the points for them will come from there because both teams will concede more on a defender that can score on set pieces, for example, which the two teams are very good at. We've highlighted Perisic being so good on deliveries for Spurs on set pieces with his right foot and with his left foot, which is amazing. And we saw how Arsenal, obviously because their set piece coach is French, that they were always going to be automatically very good at it. So that's it. But then going forward, Kane, Son, Jesus, Martinelli, all of them can return really. I think even if Spurs were going to play a deep block and play on the counter, which we saw the stats. They are the of the big teams, the team that play the deepest and that press the less high, if you want. They're still very good at what they do. That's why they've started so well this season. And I think the way Arsenal play will play into Spurs' hands and their game plan. But on the other hand, I still think that Arsenal can hurt Spurs too. So I would not sell any of Arsenal and Spurs, because especially if you have attacking assets, because I think they will all have fun and have a good game and could all return.
Yeah, it does feel like there could be goals in this fixture, Sam, doesn't it? Especially if you look at previous meetings between the sides.
Yeah, absolutely. So Arsenal have won the last two at the Emirates, 3-1 and 2-1. Spurs have won the last three at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, 3-0, 2-0, 2-1. Always goals in these games. I think when we look back at kind of the history, the Spurs that travelled to the Emirates last season was a very, very different beast to the one that's going to travel there this season. Obviously, we were still under Nuno last time around. We were not playing well at that point. And, you know, even though we'd had a good start to the season, we just weren't returning at all. This time around, we will go with confidence, I think. Son's come back into the fold now with his hat-trick, obviously, in Game Week 8. Followed that up with a goal for South Korea on the international break as well. Obviously, Richarlison had a great international break as well with Brazil. Kane, I mean, it wasn't the best international break with England, but he did still get a goal across those matches. So goals from the front three, but Arsenal really strong going forward this season. For me, I think this is a really good test for Arsenal, because I'm looking at them thinking they're going to be up there challenging within the top four this year for sure. But we've only really seen them play Manchester United so far. There hasn't really been another big team that they've kind of had to come up and contend with. So this, for me, will be a really interesting matchup. But I think you're right, Jules. I think there's goals. I think if you've got attacking players from these two teams, you play them because they've all got potential to return. The question mark for me is Saliba owners, what do you do? Do you play him in the hope that there's an attacking return from him, which we've all seen that he easily can get in recent game weeks? Or do you bench him in favour of somebody else who's more likely to get that clean sheet? It's a tough one, I think. I would err, I think, just on the side of benching him, because you don't want to be conceding more than two goals and losing points from your defenders.
Yeah, I've currently got him as my first sub on the bench for a similar reason as you've said there. And I think I'm happy not playing him. But as it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because a lot of managers will have started to part company with these Arsenal players as well. But it does feel like there is some potential.
Yeah, I mean, not too much to add on what the guys have said. They covered it really well. I agree with Jules. I think Spurs will look to soak up Arsenal's possession and play. And that's what Manchester United did. Arsenal were a better team for most of that game, but United hit them when it kind of hurt, and Spurs will adopt a similar strategy in that. There's goals in it for both sides. I think it's, if I was wildcarding, I do think I would be dropping my Arsenal players, just because I think there's potential kind of everywhere else. But would I be using transfers and hits to get rid of them? Probably not. I mean, I've got Martinelli, for example, and I'll be keeping him. He's had a great start to the season. I haven't got Jesus, but if I had him, I'd probably be keeping him. It's tempting to look at, you've got to look a bit more long-term kind of on the wild card and try and get ahead. But I think if you've used that already, or if you're not thinking of using it, I think you definitely keep all your Arsenal and Spurs players.
Okay, let's move on to the other big derby in the Premier League, the Manchester derby this weekend as well. A bit more optimism for Manchester United, but this is all about our City assets and whether they can return, isn't it, Jules?
Yeah, completely. I mean, what a fascinating game, really, because United obviously have picked up their form and it's still not really what Ten Hag wants, the football that they're playing. This is not his idea, but he's been very pragmatic after the shocking start that they had to make this team function and win games. This is all that is important right now. However, against City, again, it's a different beast. I think you could expect a very similar United game plan than the one against Liverpool, Old Trafford, where they sat deeper. I mean, they can't play out from the back with De Gea anyway because he can't pass the ball. So you have to find a different way of hurting a team like City or Liverpool, and they did that really well against Liverpool. So expect the same thing, where they're going to play quite long and try to win the second balls and then go and put pressure into the City half. And then with their press, trying to get something out of it. It's a long shot, and City have looked really good at time this season, but they've also looked at time quite average against Dortmund in the Champions League recently, for example. They've had halves where they were not very good at all. So I think United have a chance. We saw Malasia, for example, with the Netherlands against Belgium, coming on as a centre-back in the back three to play simply to man-mark almost Kevin De Bruyne, and every Ten Hag was in the stands for that game. So I wonder if in the back of his mind he's got this idea that maybe you could switch to a back four from a back four to a back three and have your left centre-back, whether that's Malacia or someone else, a bit doing a job on Kevin De Bruyne, for example. And I wouldn't be surprised if Ten Hag comes up with a special plan, if you want, tactically for this game.
In terms of Manchester City, like Arsenal, City blank in game week 12. They have the derby, then Southampton and Liverpool. What do you do if you are invested in Man City, Az?
Yeah, I mean, well, Haaland obviously goes nowhere. He's not going to go anywhere, I think, unless an injury kind of discovers him in this season. So not even kind of worth talking about. I mean, the other players are interesting. I mean, Cancelo, for example, has got a really, really low expected goal involvement if you look at the underlying stats. So 0.11 puts him right down, you know, kind of, I think, about 60th out of all defenders or something. He just isn't really getting a lot of shots off, isn't really getting a lot of crosses off. He's playing quite deep in kind of midfield when he kind of drifts in. I mean, he's doing well, don't get me wrong, in the points. He got a big haul against Forest, I think it was. And he can always deliver because of his quality. But he is a lot of money. And I think, you know, given the fixtures are getting a bit tougher, I think after that Southampton game, he could be someone that people look to downgrade. I've got Diaz, who kind of sits in the middle of Walker and Cancelo, and I'm kind of relatively happy with that, unless I see Cancelo's numbers kind of get a big boost. I've got Foden as well. I think he's probably quite an easy sale after the Southampton game. Look for a Madison or a Zaha or one of these kind of 8 million midfielders. De Bruyne as well, like I've mentioned the premiums. I think, again, if you've got him, you keep him for the next two, and then you look to move him over to one of the kind of other premium options. So I'm not saying it's you need to kind of, you know, react really quickly and get rid of all your Man City assets, but you have got to be conscious that with a Liverpool game and then a blank, you've got a lot of money tied up in quite a lot of these players, and it might be sensible just to drop them for a little bit, unless you've got huge amounts of value tied up in them.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a real plan, Sam, as to how to navigate that blank for Manchester City and also not miss out on their points. It's kind of a fine balance for managers, isn't it? Because you know you're not going to want them in that game week, but then you could miss out on so much in between.
Absolutely. And I think this for me is one of the fundamental reasons why I've decided not to wildcard, because I feel the same about Arsenal. You know, both of these teams are teams that I don't want to deinvest in yet, because derbies, anything can happen in a derby. And I like the fact that I own them. And it's interesting with Cancelo, like I said, it feels like, and the XG underlying stats feel like he's not as good as last season. But I looked at the numbers and compared them back to how he was getting on by this time last season. So far this season, he's got 2 attacking returns. That's the same as he had this time last year after 7 games. He's had 8 attempts on goal. Only 4 defenders have had more than that. And he's created 6 chances so far. So yeah, they are slightly lower than last year's numbers, but it's not a huge amount of difference. Last time he had 10 goal attempts so far. But like I say, the attacking returns are still the same. He's had 44 points after 7 games last season, and it's 42 so far this season. So I think we all think that Cancelo is massively down on where he was last time around, because he's playing in a slightly different part of the pitch and his game is slightly different. But actually, the numbers in terms of the FPL points, which is the key thing here for us as managers, is how many points is he bringing home? Hardly any difference. So he's a player that I don't want to sell yet, because he can go off in any game. You know, just because he hasn't returned regular attacking returns so far doesn't mean that he won't. So for me, Haaland, I'm not going to sell even through game week 12, because I've got so much money invested in him. If I sell him now, to buy him back again, it's going to cost me money. I don't have the same with Cancelo. So I will sell him after game week 11, heading into game week 12, knowing he's easy to bring back for that nice run of fixtures. And then, as you both know, I've got Edison as my third Manchester City player right now, and I would like to move him for a more attacking City player after the blank. So probably a move from Edison to somebody like Foden or like KDB at that point, and going in with a cheaper goalkeeper option until that unlimited transfer window opens 4 game weeks later.
Just a word on Manchester United, Jules, because you mentioned them before. After this derby, they've then got Everton away, Newcastle at home, then it's Spurs, Chelsea. Those fixtures, there's a couple in there that are a bit better. But how are you feeling about United in general? And yes, I am semi-saying this with my Marcus Rashford hat on, even though I really, really know I do have to sell him now.
You got lucky 1 week and now you keep banging on about it.
It's an emotional it's an emotional hold now.
That love story you have with Marcus. So Diogo Dalot for me is the outstanding one. More than Lisandro Martinez, more than Varane, because they've been solid defensively. More than Bruno or Eriksen. Bruno, I think, is coming back to a very good level. We saw that with Portugal. More than Rashford or Sancho or Anthony, I'm not completely convinced either yet. But I think Dalot is really good. The problem is those fixtures. I don't know. They're tough fixtures. They really are. And this could be a tough time. They might keep clean sheets and play again quite deep and defend well, but it's still a bit of a gamble, I think, to gamble, or not gamble, but to go with United's asset right now, even if they look good and they've won four in a row and blah, 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 everything you want. I would wait a little bit more because I'm just not too convinced. I think at some point Ten Hag is going to go towards what he wants really from that team. They're going to evolve again. They're not going to play like this every single game through the season. So he would work on this team. And when you work on a team and you try to put stuff in place, then it needs time. So I don't know. But Dalot is the one really, if I had to go out for one United player, it would be him because I think his stats and underlying stats are amazing. And he clearly has a lot of confidence. We saw that in Europe too. We saw that again with Portugal in that first game against the Czech Republic. He's on really good form.
But not this week, no? Against Haaland and Man City.
Against City, yeah. It looks tough.
Who are you going to get in for Rashford, Kelly?
Oh gosh, let's not bring that up. I don't know. He's currently my third sub. I'm hoping that I can just get through another week without having to make that decision. I've only got one free transfer, so I'm going to wait. And then either next week, maybe I'll wild card. But I think I'm going to wait. Don't check my team at 11:15 tomorrow, though, because anything could have happened. Az, out of everyone, knows just how much I panic on the deadline, don't I, Az?
Yeah, I'll be getting my morning text when
Kelly. You get text as well, yeah, like us. Yeah.
You're not special, guys. Everyone does.
Yeah, well, clearly.
Oh, you see, we thought it was just us, Jules.
That hurts.
Az, you're the original.
No, listen, Sam, she copies and pastes and sends to 10 different people to see what the answer is. I know her.
She asks us all these questions from the tunnel at Aston Villa and then pays no attention to what we say, Jules.
I actually took a -4 in the last game week because I decided I didn't want Josh De Silva and I wanted Andreas Pereira. And I thought, okay, I want him for the long term, so I don't mind taking a -4. I lost the head-to-head with my other half, which incidentally is called Loser Pays for the Weddings. This could be a very expensive league to lose. I lost it by 3 points.
Oh, God.
So had I not made that transfer. So my new season resolution was not to take as many points hits. The first time this season I've taken a points hit and it didn't go very well. Anyway, I don't really want to talk about that anymore, but that's just an insight into how my chaotic mind work when it comes to FPL. Let's end on a differential because I think we've seen that there's a lot of decisions for FPL managers to have to make this week or next week in terms of whether they wildcard or not with Qatar on the horizon. So let's try and offer a differential to give them something else to think about. Sam, you go first.
So I think the obvious one is Madison, but who am I to be obvious, even though he is still a differential? I'm going to go a little bit out there. So Newcastle have got a lot of problems at the moment in terms of injuries. Obviously, we've talked about Isaac out. Chris Wood isn't available. St. Max is a doubt. Like, so many problems. Callum Wilson clearly cannot play 90 minutes. He's not got match fitness. He's just coming back from injury. But he's going to have to play something in this game, surely, because they are so low on available starters. So I actually think that even with a lack of match fitness, Callum Wilson could be a nice differential going into this one. 0.7% owned. He's going to be my pick for this week.
I quite like that one. Az, who are you going for?
I mentioned him already, but I'm going to mention him again. And he's going to be the kind of player that I mention all the time and never end up buying, which is Sinisterra of Leeds. Got 2 goals off the bench for Colombia, international break. He's been kind of eased into the Leeds team because he had that kind of injury at the start of the season. But his underlying stats are absolutely phenomenal. I mean, again, I mentioned the XGI, so expecting goal involvement, non-penalty per 90. His is 0.7. Now, just to give that a bit of context, Salah's is 0.68. Kane's is 0.68 as well. So it's quite a small sample size because he's only had started 2 games and he's been kind of coming off the bench. But if he can carry on those numbers and if Leeds can carry on with the waves of attack in which they're doing in matches, he's going to be an absolute steal at 6.5. So this is a really good time to get on him, I think.
Maybe I could get him in for Marcus Rashford. Jules, who are you going to suggest? Or is your differential actually Diego Dalot and we've gone a little bit early?
No, I mean, I can mention Trossard and we mentioned him already, but I cannot believe he's only owned by 3.5% of the managers. The other one that I really like is Anderson, Joachim Anderson at Crystal Palace, the defender. He's only owned by 2.5%. He's brought in 19 points already. He's only 4.5 million. And I think Palace defend well. He's a really good defender. He was outstanding against France with Denmark in the international break in the Nations League. And we've said, okay, they've got Chelsea this weekend, although it's at home. But after that, they've got really nice fixtures, Palace. So I think Anderson or Gehi, if you prefer Gehi. But I think one of those two centre-backs could be a very smart move.
I did just check if Marcus Rashford was a differential and I could throw him in here. Alas, he's owned by almost 15% of managers, so I won't be suggesting him.
Because you talk about him so much that everybody is like copying you.
Everyone's bought him because they've heard of that one good game week that he had for me. Okay, let's finish on captains and transfers. Jules, you don't have a clue what you're going to do yet. Maybe you at least know who you're going to captain.
Erling Braut Haaland.
Simple. As.
Yeah, captain-wise, I think it's going to be Haaland. I think Madison's an interesting option if you've got him against Forest, because there should be goals in that game between Leicester and Forest on Monday night. It's also why I like captaining a player on a Monday night game. Gives you a bit of hope and optimism going forward.
I like that.
Yeah, I can't see any way in which Haaland doesn't get something against Man U. City are going to be up for it. Haaland and his dad have got the history with United. He's going to be really, really, I think he's been quoted as saying he's desperate to score against United. So I think he does in that game. And you know, it kind of feels like a really safe captaincy option this week.
Yeah, it feels safe to go with him. It feels very, very bold to go against him, no matter who United are playing. Oh, your transfers. I forgot to ask you that. Sorry.
My transfer, I'm going to be bringing in Reece James, who I would stress, I think is going to be a really, really important player for FPL managers going forward. I think, you know, we look at Potter and we look at Chelsea. It's really hard to know who's going to play where. Is Cucurella going to be centre-back, left wing-back? Is Sterling going to be left wing-back? Who's going to start up front? You know, all these kind of questions. But I think what we do know is that Reece James will line up every week at right wing back and be a really important player, and the fixtures are really nice, so I think he should be very high on everyone's wish list.
A word on Chelsea quickly, as someone that's watched a lot of Graham Potter's Brighton, I guess, as you said, there's so many question marks as to what he's going to do with this immensely talented squad. I imagine you're going to be paying a close eye on what happens against Crystal Palace this weekend to work out who the options are there.
Absolutely. And we saw some kind of interesting things in his Champions League game, in his first Champions League game. No one was really sure where Sterling was lining up, for example. He kind of was at left wing back, but then was the furthest player forward anyway. So it didn't really matter. That's similar to what happened with Trossard. At left wing back. He doesn't really do kind of conventional positions or formations or anything. Kind of anyone can play anywhere, and it's going to be the versatile players that kind of really benefit. But we really need to know what happens in midfield. I think Jorginho doesn't really seem like a Potter player, for example. I think we might see Gallagher coming in, maybe Loftus-Cheek and things like that. There's just, it could be anyone playing anywhere at the moment. So that's why you go for Reece James and lock him in.
Brilliant. Another player that I don't have. Maybe that'll be my transfer after all. Sam, what are you going to be doing?
I did my transfer last night, actually, Kelly, because I lost the will to live with Jarrod Bowen after just 1 week of owning him. I bought him in as a differential pump for Game Week 8 because I planned to wildcard after Game Week 8 and then decided, actually, I don't want a wildcard and I'd rather have James Maddison for the nice run of fixtures that Leicester have got. And as said, I think, you know,
got rid of Bowen already, Sam. Didn't know that.
Yeah. So I owned him for exactly 1 week. And the thing is, I really thought that last week, well, in the last game week, that the West Ham would be different against that Everton side. I really thought we'd see more attacking threat from them and a bit of a turnaround in their season. And we just didn't. We just didn't really see much from them. And Bowen's been so off it of late. And I just kind of felt like at the price that he was, I really need my midfielder spots to be working for me, especially with free premiums up top in Haaland, Kane and Jesus. So those midfielders, the mid-price ones, have to do the work. And I just didn't trust that Bowen would. And I think that Maddison is going to be a really nice pick until the unlimited transfer window opens, really. So I've already done that one. And like the guys, I'm going to captain Haaland. I think there are other options, differential ones. And if I had Salah, I'd captain Salah this weekend. I think against Brighton, who are going to attack, he could be a really good captaincy option. But as a non-Salah owner, I'm going to captain Haaland.
I feel like this is maybe the first ever podcast we've done where there is not one person on here that owns Mohamed Salah. No one's got him, have they?
That's terrifying.
That is. Are we all scared? Because I'm scared.
Because I'm going to play the crazy wild cards. I might get rid.
So have you got him at the moment, Jules?
Yeah.
Hang on. If you wild card, you're going to sell Salah ahead of the Brighton game.
Yeah.
Don't get rid.
Yeah.
Jules?
I know.
You surely would hold him for Brighton and then sell him.
Gosh, this is quite the revelation at the end of the pod.
I know, but then
another reason not to wildcard.
Exactly. But then I feel like the wildcard is calling me. The wildcard literally is like looking at me saying,
no,
come on, play.
You've got to hold it, Jules.
You can't sell Salah now.
No. You've got to hold.
I don't know.
Just keep Salah. If you wildcard, keep him. Give him one more week and then sell him in game week 10.
It's calling me. Like right now, he's looking at me with eyes like I can't say no. You know those eyes?
Flirtatious wildcard eyes.
Yeah.
I see what I can do. I love the words. I love the words.
Okay, well, that is where we're going to end. I really thought none of us had Mohamed Salah. Jules keeping very quiet in the corner because he's plotting that wildcard. Well, that is all from us today on the FPL pod. I'm looking forward to seeing what Jules does with his team. Going to be a stressful 24 hours, Jules?
Always. He always is. He always is.
That's what happens when you leave it so late.
Yeah, that's true.
Az, thank you as always for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
Yes, it's been a pleasure. And as always, Sam, thank you for your company. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Are you watching Spurs this weekend? Are you going to the North London derby?
I'm going to enjoy watching us beat Arsenal at the weekend, Jules.
I'll be there, so I'll be thinking of you, don't worry.
I'm going to be muting our WhatsApp group tomorrow, that's for sure. And I've got a busy 24 hours ahead to work out what I do about Marcus Rashford, Reece James and everyone else. So anyway, a reminder, the deadline is 11 a.m. Saturday UK time. The website for everything FPL related is fantasy.premierleague.com. The very best of luck. Bye-bye.